It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Jacinda. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you, on this beautiful Tuesday morning, beginning of May, beginning of New Zealand Music Month.
It is. It's very exciting.
Very exciting indeed. We're going to talk first thing about the closure of the Fine Arts Library. It's causing all sorts of hullabaloo, and you are the Minister of Arts, Culture and Heritage. What are your thoughts, and what's happening? What's the deal?
You're not.
Oh, hold on, your phone just cut out then. Hello, are you there? Hello?
Here.
Are you there now? Hello?
I have my butt.
We got some terrible phone issues there. Should we just try and call right back, do you think?
Yes, I'll call.
We'll call right back. Well, if you could do that, Joe Glass, sorry. That sounded absolutely awful there. What I'm asking the Prime Minister about here is that the Fine Arts Library, across the country, actually, libraries have been closed down willy-nilly, all as a result of funding issues, apparently. Libraries and librarians aren't as necessary, it turns out, in the eyes of some of the universities. Hi, Prime Minister, you're there. Hello, how's that sounding? Better? Oh, no, we can't hear you fine at all. That's sounding terrible, unfortunately.
I'll get you my landline. Pop me back over to your producer. We'll sort it.
Oh, no, that sounds better. Now we're good.
I'm just in the beehive.
Oh, the beehive. Is there time to knock that thing down anyway for a start? when Helen Clark was in that office, there was like a weird painted bit of floor that was like a turquoise colour? Do you know what I mean? No, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to, still can't hear you there, so I'll put you across to Joe Guy, there we go, and we'll see if we can do that there. I'll keep talking about the Fine Arts Library closure for you. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening, maybe just try and sort this out and get the landline number for the Prime Minister, which we probably should have already. And the university is saying that it's having to close specialist libraries because there isn't enough money. There's five libraries being cut: architecture, planning, music and dance. Architecture and planning, music and dance, and the Fine Arts Libraries in favour of being merged with the general library at the university. Now, it might have seemed like that's a big deal, but then what do you do when you close a library? Do you throw away all the books? Do you throw away all the librarians? Do you lose all the jobs? And what happens if you're the students that are wanting to learn about all the things that are kept in those libraries? The Fine Arts Library at Elam is the largest fine arts library in the Southern Hemisphere. The largest fine arts library or biggest collection of fine arts in the Southern Hemisphere?
Biggest collection of fine arts in the Southern Hemisphere.
So, we talked to the Minister for Arts, Culture and Heritage and our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, about that. Jacinda, hi.
Hi, I'm sorry about that. I'm on my beehive bat phone now, so okay. We should be fine.
All right. That's much better. Hi, good morning.
You were asking me about the libraries, and I was just saying that I certainly have opinions, even though I'm technically don't have any powers in this particular scenario, but I've seen letters, I've been copied into a few, they've been written to the Vice-Chancellor, and the one thing that I think at least should be happening is this is consulted on solely within the university. I do think there are people outside of the university who have a real interest in this, particularly graduates who have talked about the impact that having access to that library has had on their lives. And their research, the proximity of the library to where their school of study. So there's a whole lot of arguments that I think we might miss out on from not having a wider consultation on what's happening.
Is it something that you think the students should be consulted with as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean,
ultimately, they are the learners. You know, they are the ones who are, who will have the on the ground view of whether or not consolidating. Because of course, the argument that the university is making is, yes, we move it out over into the general library, but we can extend the hours of availability of the collection. Well, there is still a question of proximity. There's a question of whether or not it will be at the same scale. There's lots of issues that I think current students would have a real view on.
And when the university says it's a funding issue, isn't it the government's responsibility to ensure that there's adequate funding for that sort of thing?
Of course, the funding that we provide through things like First Year Free goes, directly as fees to the university as well. But yes, this is a complaint that...
So there needs to be a bit of mutual glad-handing, doesn't there?
Well, it is a complaint that universities often make, when they make changes. Don't blame us. Blame the government. Ultimately, we've funded at a consistent rate. We've tried to also at the same time there... I saw in the paper the Vice-Chancellor was criticising the government for making it cheaper to go into education rather than increasing the amount of funding to universities. And look, he's of course welcome to make that argument, but one of ours would be, we've got to make education accessible.
Right.
So that's one of the issues, of course, that we've had, is trying to deal with that end of the problem as well. Does that mean that we want to lose the breadth and depth of resources within those universities? Of course not.
What about the? It plants a seed of worry that there's just less and less attention to the arts in the country though, as well, doesn't it?
Well, I certainly don't want that to set in. You know, as I say, you know, obviously some of these decisions sit often outside of my control, but I certainly have a view that, you know, we cannot allow our cultural infrastructure, because that's really important.
Because a lot of people voted for you guys, for you especially, I think, on the basis that you said your love of preserving the arts. So I mean,
absolutely, and I can be an advocate for that, but doesn't mean I can come in and tell a university what it can and can't do. I can certainly share an opinion, and you know, our cultural infrastructure is important to us. This is a collection we should be feel proud of. So I've asked the ministry to, you know, get me a bit more information before I look at contacting the vice chancellor.
The time has come for charter schools to either shut down or approach you guys to come under a different category.
Yes, and we've said that for a long time. I know there was a protest outside my office recently over this, but actually, from what I understand, a number of charter schools, in fact, Vanguard, which is a significant one, has already entered into a process to transition. And that's what we've always said. You know, there are other options. You know, charter schools, there is the option of them moving to become schools of special character, integrated schools. If they're just willing to operate with similar funding levels, same rules around staffing and curriculum, then we shouldn't have a problem, and that's the case.
So just for those of us that aren't looking at charter schools for any other reason, where are the two angles coming from here? The government's angle is closing them down because the pressure's coming from where? Like the regular just teachers in other schools?
Actually, it's a principle for us. We want to make sure that a student, no matter where they go, is getting the best education possible. In the beginning, particularly, charter schools were receiving rates that were at a higher rate of funding than our state schools, and we really questioned whether or not that was the right thing to do. The second issue was they didn't have to have registered teachers. They weren't, the Official Information Act, transparency didn't apply to them, and they weren't required to teach the curriculum. And we just wanted to make sure that we had some decent standards.
When you've got tiny dancer David Seymour wanting to keep them going, who's putting the pressure on him to argue that in Parliament?
Oh, that's, it's an ideological thing, I guess, for him.
Is it?
I can only assume. I haven't dug back into some of the rationale for why he's being so deeply motivated by this. But one thing it has raised for us, there is a place for schools that are our alternative schools to what we are offering them. There is a place for that, and what this has raised with us is it's quite hard to set those up. Some of the schools that became charter schools actually had previously tried to become special character schools, particularly those who might have a particular Māori kaupapa, and it's been hard for them. So that has taught us a bit of a lesson. We could make sure that this was a little bit easier so they didn't have to result in becoming charter schools.
Right. The Child and Youth Mortality Review Committee report came out recently. It's not good reading. It's sad reading. And we were talking about it on the radio yesterday about how, look at that. It turns out that there's more chance of children dying in poverty-stricken areas. It's no surprise, really. It's time to stop just getting these figures in and start realising that they're actually human beings.
Yeah.
And figuring out how these things change. Are you confident the government's making movement on that issues?
I was just reading some of the data from that, and of course, the argument is, you know, you would, as you would expect, if you're a child living in poverty, you're more likely to be living in damp, cold, overcrowded housing, more likely to be susceptible to illness and infection, less likely to have the same kind of nutritious level of food, and your parents are more likely to be in work, you know, cobbled together hours more often and not necessarily as available, and you might not go to the doctor as much. So those are things that probably instinctively we would know. It's why one of the first things we did when we came into government was put in the families packages. It's the biggest piece of spending we're likely to do as a government in one go, $5.5 billion, to lower middle income families for exactly this reason. So on average, they'll be getting an extra $75 a week. Now, that's a big difference when you're a family on a really low income. And so we know And I always put in this, we know from the research, you give a family with kids more money, the money goes to the kids. That's actually a statement of fact, as much as people sometimes like to think that it doesn't, it does, because you'll be pretty hard-pressed to find a parent who doesn't want for the best for their kids.
When do you think you'll be able to see, the next report that comes out, the next child and youth mortality review report that comes out, we'll be able to see some movement, we'll be able to see that there'll be less kids dying in New Zealand?
Well, of course. Of course,
when do you hope to see the results of the families package?
And that's our aspiration for all of this. One thing we know is when we measure this stuff, and this is what I found really frustrating since I've come into office. So that's going to come in July. It's some of it we've phased in for some payments are instant, some phase in. At the same time, we're doing another number of other things of making sure that we then track what difference it makes to child poverty. So even though the results will be straight away for those families, it comes in and the winter energy payment as well for families on benefits.
Yep.
When we're actually able to measure and pick up what it's done to household incomes, takes us a year of lag.
Yeah, so it's going to be, yeah.
It happens instantly. We don't get to see the measures for a while. But for the mortality committee, I'd hope that we see it quickly. But it takes a while to turn the ship around sometimes.
What are the plans for the week, Prime Minister?
We've got particularly lots of things through the week, but on Friday we've got an announcement around housing and homelessness, particularly us preparing for winter. So keep an eye out for that.
Righto. Next week, by next week, we should be able to have a really good conversation about whether the New Zealand banks are doing what the Australian banks are doing. Do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Yes. Okay. Cool. Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Talk about that soon. Cheers.
Speak to you next week. Thanks, Jacinda.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.